ハリオンサハナババトゥサハナオブナクトゥサハビヤンカラババハイテジャシュヴィナバリタマスタマヴィデヴィシャバハイOm Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare HareHare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Page 32. Chapter 2, Ajamiya delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. Pratigya.The Vishnu Dutas who had rescued Ajamiel came before him again when his mind was firmly fixed upon the form of the Lord. The Vishnu Dutas had gone away for some time to give Ajamiel a chance to become firmly fixed in meditation upon the Lord. Now that his devotion had matured, they returned to take him. The particular of this chapter is taken from Srila Prabhupada's purport to text 42. Chapter 2 summarizes questions and answers.In this chapter, several rhetorical questions are asked which do not come under this study. Vishnu Dutas, while addressing Yamadutas, if such persons, referring to a king or government official, become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for the maintenance and security? Text 3. So they're making the point is if the government doesn't take care of the people, where will they go? Because it's supposed to be the government takes care, right?If a leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith, how can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? So if you're based on kind-heartedness, then someone who's taken shelter, even though something has gone wrong, right? So then how can they act technically be punished? Right? Because then at that time we'll put out, oh, you have the different hat on,or, you know, just setting example, or, you know, for the greater good, you know, all these nice little, how you say, you know, pranamoic platitudes that never worked anyway, never will, and never, and aren't. So, like this, but these will be said, they're just saying like that. So, the point is that it's actually kind-hearted, that's what I say, because otherwise some can make a nice show of it.
Like Kali?
Yeah, it makes a good show, but I mean, it's interesting, I've noted a few times, so you have these really big guys, you know, big industrialists and all that, and they'll come into a situation, and they're very pleasant, smiling and all that, but as soon as that moment's over, that part's done and moving on to the next, it's just like, just like the whole face drains and they move off as if they've never even seen you before. So that's not actually kind-hearted. They know how to be kind-hearted.But they're not actually kind-hearted.
It was just the Danish Prime Minister, he was campaigning and he gave a lollipop to a child, and then when the cameras panned off, he took back the lollipop. But there was one camera that was still on.
He needed it for the next baby.
Yeah, exactly.
They harassed him about that for a long time.
He did these things kind of regularly, so it was just one of those.
Oh, okay. So it's like
people don't really care anymore.
Like Bush or something. Yes.
When our devotees get Paraduka Dukhi, and they're kind-hearted, but it appears that the leadership, it's very difficult, you know, for them to be personal with everybody, because they can handle only,
many people. Of course.
So then people, you know, like regular devotees, they take offense, you know, how come you don't recognize me, you know, I'm not important, although in the beginning everybody's saying, you're so important, we're going to take care,
Yeah. A person has limit how much he can do, so it's not that people can expect. This comes up because of the modern concept that everybody has rights.
Yeah.
Like that. I saw once that someone came and the authority, and they smiled and all that, and the authority was busy doing something. And then later on, they were completely incensed that I came in, I gave them the opportunity to interact and be pleasant and nice, and they didn't recognize, they were busy. But it wasn't on, you know, when was a good time to go and see. It was just, this is when I felt like going. Now I'm going to be very, how you say, nice and compassionate and give the opportunity for the authority to deal with me in a proper way so that I, like this. And this was a really big, big, big thing. You know, how you're the authority, you have to, you know, deal like this, but, you know, what about the thing? No, no, it doesn't matter. You know, cause it was just all about themselves.
Yeah.
So that kind of a thing, what can the leadership do? That you can't do anything about. That comes from a long term, is why is it that people work on rights? Right? It means we're working as a basis on rights instead of yama and niyama. It's supposed to be yama, what's unfavorable for devotional service, right? So first of all, making yourself the center of attention and demanding you have rights. And niyama is then what is favorable. You know, so the humble attitude, submissive, the service attitude, and this. So these aren't being discussed. So then the real point of that kind of thing is the long term is why isn't it? It'll always be an occasional. You can't get rid of that. You can say, no, but if everything was perfect, you wouldn't have that. Then why is it the Lord Chaitanya's time they had Ramachandra Puri? Right? It's just to show that you still can't please everybody, and so you do your best. So then when something comes up, they react badly, then you try to deal nicely. Like that. So the leadership can only do the best they can, but it has to be that devotional service is the focus, not that somebody's... It's not the management of the service that's the focus. It's the service itself, the attitude and the mood of devotional service that should be the focus of preaching. You know, if that's there, then slowly, slowly, then for those who will respond, then it will get better. And then for those who can't respond, then they'll be more isolated. Because otherwise, if it's not generally spoken, then the person who you never can satisfy, when they get grumpy because they'll speak on platitudes that are kind of like socially acceptable, then it's felt that, no, they're wronged. But if it's a matter of pure devotional services being discussed, then people understand the real attitude. And so then when such persons that can't be satisfied, they'll be thought of as people you can't satisfy. You know? In other words, everybody has had a bad interaction with this person. Yeah. I mean, everybody.
Yeah.
But because there is some commonly accepted social ideals based on, you know, non-Vedic principles. Right? Not that they don't originally come from there, but the basis of them is not about Shastra and about, you know, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So then, because they're talking that, then people will kind of be slightly favorable. So then we see is that if you want to work on the political side, then you'd have to do beta. You know, separate them off from the others.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you're going to start talking nicely and this and that, but... The point is, but then why do we have to use that? It would already, if we're preaching Krishna consciousness, those who are serious and those who are not, it's already obvious. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember when I mentioned before, one devotee here in Mayapur, didn't matter what was happening, it was always wrong. They were never satisfied. This one's bothering, that's bothering, this situation, that's it, just day in, day out, unending. You know? And this went on for, I don't know, a really long time. You know, I can't say how many months or years, but it was a long time. And then one day, then, you know, the manager that they always went to, then they came up to him with a new problem. You know, the end of the world problem. Every day is an end of the world problem. And then the leader just stopped and just said, You know? I've been thinking about it. You don't have a problem. You know, and the guy's shocked, you know? What do you mean I don't have a problem? He says, you are the problem. You know? Because you say everybody else this and that, but I've talked to everybody else, I checked the situations. Everybody else is fine. You're the only one that has a problem. So actually, you're the problem that you say this one doesn't like, this one behaved bad, because you're the one that always behaves in a way that then they respond and they do this and that. You know, so then it becomes more obvious. You know, that was also bold to point that out, but it was a reality. You know, because, you know, it's brahmacharya, you live in the brahmacharya ashram with him. There wasn't any time that somebody didn't do, you know, something to offend him. You know, you happen to be using their shower stall or their toilet, you know, even though it's a general toilet and general shower stall. But they always use that one. Why are you using that one? All the other ones are free. Why can't you, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, I always use that one, you know, like that. So that's the thing is that, if we're preaching pure devotion, then it becomes obvious, as we see here, is that he's made a mistake, but he's heard the actual position. And so now Ajamil then can contemplate that and come to a proper understanding. Does that work? You know, because he actually cannot, on the material platform, you can't satisfy everybody. It's impossible. So if anybody acts on the material platform, there's a good chance you can't satisfy them.
You say you can't satisfy anybody on the material plane?
No, nobody. Means you can temporarily, but, you know, otherwise, then it's always going to change. Otherwise, why is it something that everybody's very happy with now and then later they forget? That's the problem, because it's just they're governed by the modes of nature. And the modes of nature dictate whether a particular one you'll be in a particular situation or not and how you respond. Because the same situation that today everybody says is great, tomorrow the law says is terrible.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. You know, like sitting at a family dinner. You know, everybody's there, the whole family, and they're, you know, nice food. They're all talking nicely. People will say, this is wonderful. This is great. But another time they'll think, this is so restrictive and this and that. Why do I have to be there? Why can't I do my own thing? Yes. So that's the whole thing. It's the same situation.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, oh, going out shopping, fabulous. Oh, I got to go out shopping.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing, is that whatever someone will say, this is fabulous, the modes of nature can turn it around, so it's terrible. So that's what the karmis are dealing with. That's why we recommend don't get under the modes.
Yes.
Because if you work under the modes, that's what the modes will do to you. Whatever you say is nice, they'll make it not nice. And whatever you say is not nice, you'll say, this is nice.
You even have people who are so much under the modes that if you agree with them on something, they will actually change their mind just to get that.
Yeah, just to argue.
Yeah, just
like
to get that.
Just to argue. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's the point. Because people just like to argue, like to get insulted, like to be the victim. It doesn't matter what you do, they're always the...
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if you open the door... Oh, you're patronizing, you're this, you're that. You know, you think I can't open the door myself, this and that. That you don't open the door. What is this? No respect, no interaction, no care. No.
Yeah.
That's the point. Someone wants to be a victim, they can always be a victim. And if you'll notice, there's certain individuals, they're always the victim. You'll see the pattern. But because of the modes of nature and the different, you know, whatever's the contemporary talk, it'll sound like they're normal. But if you actually analyze, no, they're always the victim. Right? You know, or they're always right, or they're all, you know, like that. So that's the whole point. It's just the modes. That's their desire. Krishna's fulfilling their desire. You know? And it's not that, no, and then you know, that, what do you call it? If there's smoke, there's fire. You know, what about all when Krishna walked into the arena in Mathura? So by that, then there should have been, you know, a forest fire. Because it was smoke. So it's just an easy way of saying is, I'm not going to let go of my material concept.
It's just the smoke is coming from them.
Yeah, the smoke's coming from them instead of coming from there. But that you can't, they can't see. Okay. Yes. And understand here The question should be about how does pure devotional service apply in this point of leadership and administration, not now get off into, you know, when I was here, then this manager did this to me, now, you understand?
And generally we find that when we are outside while working with authorities, and we don't expect much, but when we come to devotional circle, we expect a lot from devotees.
But why do you expect a lot? But I'm saying, who are you? Who are you that you can expect a lot? Not that saying that you're not somebody, but if we're working by Trinada Pisu Nichana, Tarota Pisu Hishnana, by that, who are we? Right? We don't find any of the acharyas saying, I am the greatest. You know, like that. Not that people don't say that, but, you know.
Not the acharyas.
No.
We fall down even from material, from why that happens. Outside world, we don't expect so much attention and all from other people, but in devotee circle, we expect a lot.
Oh, you mean why are we expecting it, or not? Can we? Because you were looking at the element of actually being able to take shelter, you know, and Krishna's a shelter and all that. So it's natural. We might think like that, but why are we thinking like that is because we think we're important. We come in thinking that we're not important, but, you know, Krishna and the acharyas, the devotees, devotional service is important, and we're just happy to be along, you know, that we can tag along, then we're good. But we actually think, no, I should get. In the material world, I didn't get the attention I deserved. So now I've come to Krishna consciousness, which is the solution to all problems. So now, of course, I should get all the attention I deserve. You know? And so when you come from, so when someone comes from a society that does not care for anything, then, you know, what they expect from the society will, from the Krishna consciousness, that will be greater. You know, but the point is that's what culture is for, is you have to know what you can take from where. You know what I'm saying? Just like a common thing. At the home, things aren't going very nicely, so then when they go out, the family, they expect to get what they're lacking at home from the outside culture. Right, the man can't control it. He should be able to come out and control the universe, and she's not getting the attention, so the whole universe should give her attention. Right? So does that make sense? You know, somebody kicked a dog, so the dog bites your leg. You know, and you have nothing to do with it. You know, you understand? So that's material. Naturally, we're turning to the Lord, but it's symptomatic of a neophyte position. Right? Everybody needs the proper interaction, so that's there. But it's gained through the Vaishnava culture, not by demanding by modern platforms. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that if we understand that, then we can move forward. Otherwise, then we expect that attention, so that's artha. You know, or we expect facility, so that's artarti. Or, you know, they have to answer my questions or give me that time to, you know, read in that because it's my right. That's a jigyasa. You understand? So it's a problem. The ones turned to Krishna, that's good. But the part that's not turned to Krishna, that's always going to give you trouble. It'll give you and everybody else trouble. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
And it is usually said that only devotees have good qualities. But can we say that it starts from the level of Dharma, that let's say leaders, they do their duty on the level of Dharma, or the followers follow, then they can actually exhibit consistently some good qualities, like taking care of the planet or being respectful?
On one level, you could say yes, but technically it's only by performance of devotional service that you can say that those qualities will come. Because you follow Dharma and all that, then Dharma itself, by following, then you'll get qualities that go along with it. But it's only because you're following Dharma. As soon as you stop following Dharma, they go away. You understand? But devotional service, you perform devotional service, the character and qualities that develop there, that's actually connected with the soul. In a sense. So those don't go away as situations change. Does that make sense? So, you know, someone has so much stuff, so they're so nice and sharing, and then they don't have, then they're not nice and sharing. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that you'll see, you know, if things are adjusted, then does it maintain? But ultimately, on the material platform, then even if it does nicely, they have the karma to function that way for a while. At the end of this life, you can't guarantee next life they'll have it. But devotees, that remains. So dharma is the platform of interaction, but it's not that dharma produces it. Right? Devotional service does. So therefore, if you see it as a performance of dharma as a way to express devotional service, then we'll see the qualities come very nicely. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Because especially if you're dealing with those who've come from dharma, they just have to add devotional service. But those who don't come from the platform of dharma, they have to take up devotional service and then try to add dharma. Right? You know? Then naturally these things come. Right? But even if they don't understand the details of dharma, that they're following sad-dharma, the qualities will come. So in effect, you'll get the culture naturally, even if they don't know the rules of dharma. Does that make sense? Yeah.
After comes from dharma, the qualities don't come from dharma.
Means on the material platform, you follow dharma, you're purified, so then those qualities and the modes will manifest. But we're talking about for devotees, that's why it says actual kind-hearted. So in other words, by following dharma, you can be kind-hearted. But only by following devotional service are you actually kind-hearted. Does that make sense? The difference there?
It takes time now?
Time, yes.
Because we come with our own condition, which is not coming from dharma at all.
No?
Some.
Chala dharma, yes. Yes. Oh, okay, that's why. Because chala means it, because also you can use it by shifting it. It's also good for joking. Hence the good entertainers. Right? So yes, it'll just take time. As we're committed to devotional service, then you'll see these qualities will naturally come.
So the conditioning will actually be more, it's not changing, but it's refined?
Yes, it gets refined. Because you don't have to change the nature, because each nature has its own, you know, special quality. It's about whether it's pure or not. You know, just like, let's say, you have the child, you know, let's say, who's, you know, very friendly. So they're quite bold. They just walk up to you, hi, my name's this, what's your name, and where are you going, and what are you doing, and, you know, and all that. You don't mind, even though it's very bold, right? But now you have an adult who's, or someone who's bold like that, but they have a motive, it's very uncomfortable. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the thing. Or just even if you keep it in the adult category, you have the person where you have a get together and all that. That person's there because they're outgoing and bold. They make the whole scene happen. You know, start conversations. Hey, let's do this and that. But because it includes everybody, you appreciate it. Right?
Yeah.
You understand? So it's not the quality. We'll say, oh, you're too this, you're too that. You have to purify your nature. Or change your nature. We'll generally not say purify. We'll always say change. But this is all a non-analytical perception. Because the actual point is the quality, how it'll be bad. It's a matter of the purity.
An application, can we say also?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But I mean, saying if the mood is, if the character is purified, naturally the application will be a better quality. Like that. So that's what we're trying to do, is purify our existence, not change our existence. That won't happen. You know, it's not that you had, you know, very serious Janmashtami, you know, like that, chanted so many rounds, really did service and all that, then the next morning when you wake up, you know, you go look in the mirror and you look different. And, huh? Like that, you know, so that doesn't happen. Right? Okay. But then Ajamil talking to himself. Was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone? Text 30. Yeah. Yes.
So he died, did he?
No.
No.
Didn't die.
Okay. So he's still in that situation with that lady and all the kids?
I don't think he gets so much into detail like that, but he's probably, you know, he's probably sitting there in the same room.
Because what we said previously, that after all this conversation, he had another chance.
Yes.
That's another body.
No, it's still the same. Like that. I think there'll be something else after that. That's another. But this one with this, then it's the same.
There's some explanation later.
Explanation is coming. Although these are both rhetorical questions, the second one is incidentally answered by Srila Sukadeva Goswami in text 21. They went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened. And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish regions? Text 31. Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikuntapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly it could not have been possible. Text 33. Right, so, that's already answered itself. But because he previously performed, he had the association, therefore he could chant. I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayana? Text 34. Right, so the killer of Brahminical culture. Sukadeva Goswami addressing Maharaj Prakrit. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? 49. So, making the point that if you do like this, there's no doubt. Because that's the natural position of the living entity. It's not that these things are, as such an Prabhupada says, an imposition on the mind. Devotional service is the natural. We like to look at it as secondary, like our own culture, that it's a secondary, it is an imposition. But because we've grown up in it, so therefore anything different, then that's an imposition. But actually, devotional service is perfectly normal.
And right. There's a doubt. Does that mean you still think of yourself as the controller? Doubt,
not necessarily. Doubt just means that you can't get two and two to make four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're getting 3 3/4 or 7.5. Something. So then something there's a weird doubt because you can't add it up.
Okay.
Misgiving means that. Misgiving means is no. I don't like this because I'm not understanding because I'm not in control or I'm not the enjoyer. That's why I don't like this. So then you have to go through and analyze, and then you see is that. That's why then removing doubts and misgivings. So if we can go through it logically and see it, then nice.
Yes.
But if not, we've heard the philosophy, but it may mean we need more purification to be able to let go of a misgiving. As we become purified, then naturally we don't feel we're the controller and enjoyer. Right? Adhyaya Prakashika. In the second chapter, the arguments of the servants of Yama are refuted by the power of the Lord's name. Ajamil repents and then ascends to Vaikuntha. In this chapter, the messengers from Vaikuntha explain to the Yamadutas the glories of chanting the holy name of the Lord. The Vishnudutas said, "Now, impious acts are being performed even in an assembly of devotees. For a person who is not punishable is going to be punished in the assembly of Yamaraj." Right? Because it means, now impious acts are being performed even in the assembly of devotees. It means they're all, devotees of some sort. Right? Yamaraj is definitely a devotee. But now impious acts are going to be performed by them because they're punishing someone who shouldn't be punished. Right? The mass of people are helpless and must depend upon the government for their safety and security. But if the government takes advantage of this to harm the citizens, where will they go? We see perfectly, because that's the point, if someone surrenders, then there's the opportunity for taking advantage. Yeah. That's why character is a must. Right? Having simply administrative skills is not at all the discussion. The discussion is the character. Right? Yes. Like that, because if you have the character, you'll work out the skills. But if you have the skills without the character, you'll never be an administrator for as long as you live. That's just the way it is. You know, just like, let's say, you have somebody who's a businessman by nature, but no one's taught them anything. They'll work it out because they have the attitude and mood of a business person. So it may take them 10 years to work it out, but they'll work it out. Now, if you teach them the skill, then, you know, in a few years they have it worked out. That's the only difference. So that's the Vedic point, is that teach the character and teach the skill. Then they're way ahead. But the modernists simply teach the skill, and nobody gets anywhere. Right? Because to not take advantage of someone who's surrendered means you have to have character. That's the whole point. And when character is lacking, it just can't be done. One will always look, how can I get benefit? So that's their point here, is that if the government doesn't take care, the people are surrendered, where will they go? Right. So, yes?
We hear often from Srimad Bhagavatam that, you know, when the government, the leadership, take care that the, you know, devotees and citizens, they are insecure. But nowadays, we see the phenomena of both parties being insecure.
Of course.
The leadership and the and the citizens or devotees.
Because there's a basic managerial ideal. And so then people will do their part and surrender, but the management can do whatever they like. But when you get to the point where management, there's some, you know, further, how you say, ideal, it's either extended or further motives, you know, either from the positive or negative, are extended more, focused on, then the government itself will come under its own scrutiny. You know, so that way each person can get ahead at the disadvantage of the other. So one in general by the public, but also then within the government itself. So then that's the natural state. No one will feel secure, top to bottom. You know, because at any time, someone, because of their motive, then they'll unnecessarily try to create a problem. Because for the government to work, there must also be that element of submission and care. Right? So if that's not there for the public, it won't be there for themselves either. You know, as long as they're focused on the public, then there's a common thing, so they'll work together. But as soon as that's in place, the natural next thing is they'll go after each other. You know, so it's just natural, you know.
So that's capitalism.
It can be any form of
government. It would seem like capitalism would naturally.
Capitalism will naturally, because it's all about profit. Yeah, but, you know, we see from at least Western administrative stories that, you know, guys hiding behind curtains and getting stabbed or stabbing or, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, so it's pretty common. It's just everybody kills everybody else, and then because they want to be the guy on the top.
Like Shakespearean.
Yeah, they're definitely Shakespearean. You know, because he's just a writer, so he's writing what he sees of the day. It's not that he's making it up. He's putting it together cleverly.
He's just dressing it up.
Yeah, so that people appreciate it. But the themes will all be just from modern day there, and so you have all these little, you know, at that time all the little fiefdoms and stuff like that, and so very easily you can see all the political intrigue and everything, what everyone's doing. Yeah, so it's just, that's all. That you just see what's the modern, that's the point. The theater shows you what is the modern feelings and ideals and what they want. So then you see. So because it's all, everyone's taking advantage. It'll happen in any system if you're not Krishna conscious. Right? Though the capitalistic system has a point, since it's all about profit, then it can go there. But on the other, monarchy and these other things, it's all about power. So it's just, you know, how you say, pick your poison. Right? That kind of thing. Is that? Okay. We see perfectly that Ajamil should not be punished, although you are attempting to take him to Yamaraj for punishment. It was due to Ajamil's glorifying the holy name of the Supreme Lord that he was not punishable. The Vishnu Dutas explained this as follows. Simply by once chanting the holy name of Narayana, this Brahmana has become freed from the reactions of sinful life. Indeed, he has been freed not only from the sins of this life, but from the sins of many, many thousands of other lives. He has already undergone true atonement for all his sinful reactions. Right? So we can understand, okay, thousands of lifetimes, but then why is it that I'm still, you know, feel sinful? Yeah. So we know that we've been around for a few more thousands of lifetimes than what we've been chanting. Like that. He has already undergone true atonement for all his sinful actions, right? Because they said he did no atonement. Now he's saying, no, he's actually done true atonement. The other things, what they want, that atonement's not actually real because it will have no effect, as the Yamadutas themselves said. He says they won't. That nobody gets purified by the atonement, but you have to be purified, I mean, purify the conscience. So they will create problem. So therefore, because everybody is in that condition, everybody will make something wrong. Therefore, everybody deserves to be taken by them.
Yes.
Right? So here it says, no, he's true atonement for all sins. So that means it's all gone. If one atones according to the directions of the Shastra, one does not actually become free from sinful reactions. But if one chants the holy name of the Lord, even a glimpse of such chanting can immediately free one from all sins. So a glimpse, that means namabhas. Yes. Chanting the glories of the Lord's holy name awakens all good fortune. Therefore, there is no doubt that Ajamil, being completely free from all sinful reactions, should not be punished by Yamaraj. As they were saying this, the Vishnu Dutas released Ajamil from the ropes of the Yamadutas and left for their own abode. The Brahmana Ajamil, however, offered his respectful obeisances to the Vishnu Dutas. He could understand how fortunate he was to have chanted the holy name of Narayana at the end of his life. Indeed, he could realize the full significance of this good fortune. Having thoroughly understood the discussions between the Yamadutas and the Vishnadutas, he became a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He lamented very much for how very sinful he had been, and he condemned himself again and again. Finally, because of his association with the Vishnadutas, Ajamil, his original consciousness aroused, gave up everything and went to Haridwar. So that answers that question. Where he engaged in devotional service without deviation, always thinking of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vishnu Dutas went there, seated him on a golden throne, and took him away to Vaikuntha Loka. In summary, although the sinful Ajamil meant to call his son the holy name of Lord Narayana, even though chanted in the preliminary stage, Namabhas, was able to give him liberation. Therefore, one who chants the holy name of the Lord with faith and devotion is certainly exalted. He is protected even in this material conditional life. Shloka Anusharana. Summary of verses 1 to 21. The consequence of irresponsible leadership and the power of the holy name. 22 to 38. Ajamil shows remorse and resumes his devotional practice. 39 to 49. Ajamil's pilgrimage and return to Vaikuntha. Verses 1 to 21, the consequence of irresponsible leadership and the power of the holy name. In verses 1 to 21, the Vishnudutas begin to explain the consequences of a government punishes a blameless person. Right? So blameless doesn't mean that something hasn't been done wrong. Blameless means if they're connected to the Lord or not. You're not connected to the Lord, even you're doing everything right, you're still, there's something to you're under the control of Yamaraj.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise we'll say, oh no, but they did this wrong, and then throw the whole thing out. We're very expert at finding loopholes.
Yes.
You know, no matter what it is, we don't follow Shastra because we found a loophole.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Thus they inform the Yamadutas that they are not properly representing their perfect master. Because of Ajamil's chanting the holy name of Narayan in a helpless condition, thus absolving him of the greatest of sins. Right, because otherwise, if it was just some small thing, we could say, yeah, okay, we let that go, but we could let that go anyway. But Ajamil, right, hard to let all that go. So then if that's all to be let go, then we can understand anything anybody else is doing pretty good.
The risk is we start to feel too good about ourselves.
This one.
If we look at Ajami, it's like...
But the point is, this is gonna, if we want to take advantage, yeah, we'll take advantage.
Exactly.
Either way, you know, market goes up, market goes down, we'll make profit. You know, like that. So that's the thing. So we can't say, oh, we can't do this because that'll be, and then what's the alternative? Yeah. Something mundane. So sincerity is there. That's why we say pure devotional service is the only solution.
Yes.
There is no material solution for any material problem. It doesn't exist, but people have faith. No, we can solve this by some material arrangement. It's never happened. Why? We're so great of managers. Look at the Greeks. Look at the Romans. You know, the German Empire, the French Empire. Even the Polish were an empire at one point.
Vikings.
You know? Yeah, the Vikings, the Russians, you know. I mean, all over the world, these great empires. They're way beyond our managerial capacity. And they couldn't work it out over thousands of years, and now we're going to work it out? We're going to find a material solution to material problems?
You can push it around.
Huh?
The material problem, you can push it around.
Yeah. Well, but even then, you have to have potency to push it around. Now we just walk around it and the different look at it from different perspectives.
Different angles.
Yes. Like that. Yes.
A bit of a rage.
Yeah. Okay. The Vishnudas freed him from the ropes of the Yamadutas, who returned to Yamaraj to inform him of the strange events that took place. Sugadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, the servants of Lord Vishnu are always very expert in logic and arguments." After hearing the statement of the Yamadutas, they replied as follows. Right? Because very expert, because they don't have any conditioning to get in the way. So they can see things very clearly, so they, you know, and there's an absolute understanding. So therefore, they'll always be correct. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in the spiritual world, there's only one perception. Right? Here in the material world, then there's so many perceptions, but in the spiritual, there's only one. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we're His servant, and devotional service is, you know, the natural way to interact. Like that. Verse 1. The Vishnudutta said, "Alas, how painful it is that irreligion is being introduced into an assembly where religion should be maintained. Indeed, those in charge of maintaining the religious principles are needlessly punishing a sinless, unpunishable person." Verse 2. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Ah, we know you are servants of Yama, but why do you speak such nonsense? We can understand that the authority of this king of Dharma to be of opposite quality. What is expressed in this verse, we have never heard such facts till now. Aho. What will happen to the people by such injustice? Kashtam. Who are you to criticize? Who are you criticizing? Please listen to what we say. A dharma is contaminating the assembly of those who judge dharma. They see dharma as adharma. In this assembly, punishment is allotted to persons without sin, who should thus not be punished. The assembly is displaying a dharma." Srila Prabhupada adds, "If completely sinless people are punished, the entire assembly of Yamaraj is contaminated. This principle applies not only in the assembly of Yamaraj, but throughout human society also. In human society, properly maintaining religious principles is the duty of the king's court or the government. Unfortunately, in this age, Kali Yuga, the religious principles are tampered with, and the government cannot properly judge who is to be punished and who is not. It is said in the Kali Yuga, if one cannot spend money in court, one cannot get justice. Indeed, in courts of justice, it is often found that magistrates are bribed for favorable judgments." Right? So everybody's just spending money. It's like how good your lawyer is, that's how good your case is, basically. And the better ones, they're extremely expensive because they're good and they know it and like that. The Vishnudutas continue. Right? "A king or governmental official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer, and protector of the citizens because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures and should be equal to everyone. Right? So they're already giving instructions and directions. It's not that only when a problem comes up, then they're dealing. Yeah. Right? They're already dealing nicely and all that. Then if a problem comes up, then... So that's the difference. That's why it says, should act as a guardian of the citizens. Like the parents are taking care of the child. They're interacting nicely, positively. Then if something goes wrong, they deal with it. Right? So that's it. But we see in the modern is only when a problem comes up, then you deal. And because they don't deal in the positive, it's constantly problems. So they say, oh, we're too busy to do positive. No, just drop all this other stuff, start doing positive. Then you'll see. Then you can go through with it. It may take a little while, but it's way worth the trouble.
It actually works.
It actually works. So the point is are we running a family, or are we running a juvenile, delinquent center? That's the whole point. One just deals with problems. The other one deals, is taking care and has affection. So that's the whole thing. You just define which one you do. If you only deal with problems, then you'll only have problems. But if you deal on the other side, then that's more. So that means then preaching in Krishna consciousness is more important than management. Management is just how to organize proper preaching. That's all.
It's like we can also conduct our life in the same way.
Yes, yes.
It means individually.
Yes, yes. That's the idea. The Brahminical culture means everybody works on this platform of Brahma. Right? Then everybody's making that attempt to upgrade their life and everything. So if everyone's trying to improve their own life, then why won't things get better in society?
Yes.
Right? So, because otherwise, if you have to administrate everything, how much can you administrate? That's the whole point. Then you have a rule for everything. That's the point. Is that originally, founding fathers, when they make their constitution, it has a general points, but they have a particular character and everything that they view those. Then as the character drops, because everyone thinks it's about the rules, then you have to have more and more rules on the rules. Like that. I think a constitutional thing, they have the Roman numeral for the original constitutional point. Then they have the subsection of that they're dealing, and then a subsection of that. So they're getting into huge amounts of fine points because people don't understand what's the actual principle.
They're working by the letter of the law, not the intent of the law.
Yes, and then the intent will be their own, or how it's perceived in the present, rather than what was the original concept. So that's the difficulty: is they've said it, and it may have some nice validity, but where's the Shastric backup?
Yeah.
So therefore, if you say all men are created equal, okay, what's the Shastric backup? Because otherwise, how do you define equal? How do you find men? How do you find all?
That's the problem discussing with modern people. You never know what words to use.
No, so that's the whole thing. So that's why it has to be based on Shastra. Yes. Then you have something to go back to, and then like that. Still, there'll be a point of interpretation and all that, but at least there's more of a chance to be able to deal with it. So that's why if the Shastra isn't the basis of something, you don't have a proper discussion. You'll never come out with any results.
This is why the lawyers are so expensive. They can draw out these meanings that support their client.
Yeah. But at least they're working on a common thing. That's why it stays together wherever you are. So it's a solid system because they do have at least a set of authority. Mm-hmm. They have a structure. They have this and that. You can't doubt these things. You can't go against them. So then they can function. But if we have them where authority isn't even up for discussion, as Prabhu mentioned, like that, is we doubt authority as a principle. Right? So as authority I don't accept, but my control, that I want. But then the problem, if I'm controlling, what's the basis of my control? I have to be an authority. So then you become a hypocrite. You don't accept authority, though you comfortably accept the position of authority. And that's why no one's comfortable. Like that. Right? Someone who accepts authority then you accept them as authority. Someone who doesn't accept authority, then you can't, then their position also is weak. Yes.
It's interesting that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in Upadeshamrita that he wants all of his disciples quickly become Madhyamadhikaris.
Yes.
And then in that society, we deal with minimum problems.
Yes.
But now we overwhelmed, you know.
Because we've made it that the neophyte society is actually the standard. Because Prabhupada made it, no, the Madhyama, because that's what Lord Chaitanya's mission is. Kanistas act as Madhyamas, Uttamas act as Madhyamas. So that's the common culture. But we've made it that untrained neophyte, that's, and how they feel, and that's standard. We drop the standard. But at the same time, as we also increase the sense of authority and control and structure. Because why is there a need to do that? Because the neophyte position supports it. Because it's all about control and enjoy. So therefore we can increase the control because the neophyte allows it. Well, the Madhyama doesn't require it. They're going to do their duties anyway. And so you need something to organize, but it doesn't have to be, you know, doesn't have to be, you know, micromanaging, you know, your nose hairs or something, you know. That.
it's a side point. I just saw yesterday, I saw one picture that 8 people run Switzerland. That's the office, that's the government.
Oh, 8 people.
Yeah, 6 million citizens, 8 people.
Not bad. Yeah, sounds about right.
Organized.
Yeah, no, they're very organized. Like a clock, right?
Swiss clock.
Yes, a Swiss clock, yeah. Chronometer.
Probably each one of them runs one bank.
Huh?
Probably each one of them runs one bank.
One runs one bank, and then they're good. Yeah, yeah, that would work, that would work. Yeah, why 8? Because there's 8 banks.
Yeah.
Before we had 6 banks, so there's only 6 people, right? Like that. Point is, if you know what you're doing, it doesn't take that many people to do it. That's the difficulty. You have more people because it's not actually about government. Like Prabhupada was, you know, in Puranjana, talking about top-heavy governments. Because it's just a matter of facility. It becomes an occupation as such, rather than something to protect the people.
Yes.
You know, naturally it's an occupation, but it's a, you know, it's occupation and that keeps you busy. Not occupation means that that's how you get your bread and butter. So governments are expanding because it's whatever you have, because it doesn't work, they create more and more and more. Then the problem is you need more and more taxes, and then the whole thing at some point has to collapse. Right? In other words, it can be big now because there's still some piety left that people will have some money. But eventually, when things degrade enough, then the actual government will have to collapse because it can't maintain itself. So yes. If the Madhyama platform is the platform that's being taken as standard, then one will see is many problems just go away anyway. And then the few that you have to deal with, then they're more clear because you have standards to judge from. Right? Because the Madhyama platform, you can't use a modern system to make it run. You'd have to use Shastra. Otherwise, how is it stable? Because Madhyama means stable. And stable means Shastra. So the modern speculative, you can't actually get up to the Madhyama platform from it. So therefore, you could say also as another approach to that is because of attachment to the modern concepts and systems, you have to actually encourage a neophyte culture for it to be able to be run. Like if I have certain attachments, therefore I have to then support that. Because the Madhyama platform won't support attachment not based on Shastra. Like that. So, like that. It goes hand in hand. Okay. Okay. He should give the citizen good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures and should be equal to everyone. Right? So everyone gets according to their position. Not that everyone gets the same thing. The point is everyone gets equal attention. Right? According to their nature. Right? So Brahmins, they require a certain kind of nature. Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, everyone requires a certain interaction. Right? Yamaraj does this. For he is the supreme master of justice, and so do those who follow in his footsteps. However, if such persons become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? Srila Prabhupada comments. The king, or in modern times the government, should act as the guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for realizing oneself and one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this cannot be realized in animal life. The duty of the government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that by gradual process they will be elevated to the spiritual platform and will realize the self and his relation with God. Right? So the idea is they're trying to get them to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Right? That's the government's point. So, therefore, Madhyama is a comfortable position to work from. This principle was followed by kings like Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Parikit, Lord Ramachandra, Maharaj Ambarish, and Prahlad Maharaj. The leaders of the government must be very honest and religious, because otherwise all the affairs of the state will suffer. Right? So honest means, you know, what it actually is, and religious means it's based on scripture. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important post of the government. Recently, this has been proven in America, where the president had to be condemned and dragged down from his post by the citizens. This is only one case, but there are many others. Because of the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, people should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Then there will be actual peace and prosperity in the state. When a Vaishnav sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement. Right, so that's it. It's by spreading the Hare Krishna movement, not by using their managerial systems on ourselves.
Yes.
Right? No, we're supposed to influence them, not they influence us. Right, because like the point is if someone's in a purified state, everything works properly. Yeah. Right, so it doesn't matter what she says. Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and rascals like that, because in the Vedic system, democracy is used. It's generally not used as the higher level of governance, but it is a form of governance that's used. So the point is. Actual point means if they're God-conscious, they're Krishna-conscious, then they'll be able to run with the proper thing and take care of the citizens. So it doesn't matter if one person's running it, many people are running it, those people are elected or not. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the point. The point is are they qualified? Mm-hmm. The Vishnudutas continue. The mass of people follow the example of a leader in society and imitate his behavior. They accept as evidence whatever the leader accepts. 17. The Sanskrit of this verse, yad yad acharati shreyan, itaras tad tad ihate, sayat pramanam kurute lokas tad anuvartate, is nearly identical to Bhagavad Gita 3:21. Yad yad acharati shreshtas. Tad tad eve taro jana. Sayat pramanam kurute. Lokas tad anuvartate. Yeah, so just a couple of words different. They should shreyana instead of shreshtas. And tad eve taro instead of tad tad ihate. What was he saying? You see many, many times verses in the different scriptures, sometimes they're almost exactly the same. Sometimes they're exactly the same, and sometimes it's just a variation in the word. You know, just another usage of the same word. Srila Prabhupada suggests, the Hare Krishna movement is the right movement for ameliorating the fallen condition of human society. And therefore, governments and public leaders in every part of the world should support this movement to completely rectify humanity's sinful condition, right? So our business is not controlling government. Our business is Krishna consciousness, right? Someone who is a government has qualifications in government. They should do that, right? That's not our business. But they should do that in a God-conscious way based on the scriptures. Then we'll find it'll work properly because they'll have the proper compassion and everything like that. So it has. It says it's run by that kindness, not by fear. Right? That was discussed before. That sometimes it's seen that people try to make things run by fear. But the Vedic system is not by fear; it's by knowledge. Because fear means is there's ignorance. It has to be based on knowledge, and that knowledge then has to have the should act as a father, maintainer, and protector. Right. Because of affection and love. That's the basis that's there, not fear. The Vishnu Dutas continue. People in general are not very advanced in knowledge by which to discriminate between religion and irreligion. The innocent, unenlightened citizen is like an ignorant animal sleeping in peace with its head on the lap of its master. Faithfully believing in the master's protection, the leader is actually kind-hearted and deserves to be the object of a living entity's faith. How can he punish or kill a foolish person who has fully surrendered in good faith and friendship? Right, so here is also, you know, fully surrendered. So like it means that they are committed to. Then they do something wrong. So then it has to be corrected in such a way that they'll get benefit. Mm-hmm. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. So we're back to Vishwanath. Because there is betrayal of trust, we speak of further a dharma occurring. This is expressed in two verses. Nyarpitat manam means to the person who has completely offered himself. Why should he trust the leader? The leader should be worthy of being trusted and should be compassionate to all beings. Right? So if that compassion is the main thing, as we were saying before, is now something goes wrong, then immediately everybody is, you know, there's some adjustment in the situation, not to correct or, it's not about the individual, it's about dealing, you know, impersonally on, you know, about the impersonal movement, right? It's not about people, it's not a movement of individuals, of people, it's a, itself a structure that must be maintained. And so because of that, that compassion is there, the individual dealing's not there. Because then, oh, if I deal like this with him, these people will complain. But then, have you ever preached to them? Have you ever trained them? Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is you have to know what you're dealing with. Srila Prabhupada adds, the Sanskrit word Vishvasta Kata refers to one who breaks faith or causes a breach of trust. The mass of people should always feel security because of the government's position. Therefore, how regrettable it is for the government itself to cause a breach of trust and put the citizens in difficulty for political reasons. One who betrays the confidence of a living entity who takes shelter of him in good faith, whether that living entity be a human being or an animal, is extremely sinful. Because such betrayals now go unpunished by the government, all of human society is terribly contaminated. So, you know, because that's allowed to happen, then we don't mind. Does that make sense? So it just creates more and more. Because if faith is breached, then who's going to have faith anywhere? So that's the thing. The vision, because the animals, because they're being taken care of by the farmer, so they trust the farmer. Yes. You know, in the beginning when they come new, they may be, you know, a little rambunctious, but after a while they adjust. Yes. Right? And then they trust. So then, therefore, to betray that trust by killing and eating them, then it just creates a whole problem. So that's what we're saying. The government doesn't control that. You know, so anybody in the position, then that's not controlled. Right? Yeah. But the motive has to be is because of that Krishna consciousness, because of Shastra said it, not because of some modern idea of rights and everything. Right? It has to be based on Shastra. Otherwise, it will be mode of passion at best. Because rights means mode of passion. This is what I deserve. I maybe do what I did, but I deserve this. Goodness is I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and like that. You know, and ignorance is just everything's backwards. The Vishnudutas continue. Ajamil has already atoned for all his sinful actions. Indeed, he has atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Now we know we've been here a long time. Before it was thousands, okay, you know, this is millions. So. We've been here a while. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. Right, so that means it wasn't offensive chant, it wasn't pure chant. Because we'll say, oh yes, you know, one name of the Lord, you know, can remove all the sin in the universe, but that has to be a pure name. The Vishnu just say no, Namabhas will do that. Right? Namabhas will do that.
So Mark, can we say that since he was in a helpless condition, he was more sincere, I can say.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. The point is if you're sincere, then it works. Even though we're not chanting necessarily pure, we have some, but we sincerely want to chant and please the Lord. Right? So that's Namabhas.
Yes. Yes.
So that means any devotee can chant on the platform of Namabhas.
Yes. Supposed to chant.
Yes. Yes. So this whole idea is not only the pure name and all that, then we'll accept it. So that he's still sinful, he still has to be punished. Right? Because we generally see is we have as much trouble giving up the concept that he's not punishable as the Yamadutas do.
Yes. Yes.
In fact, some fancy themselves in the position of Yamadutas, you know, that we're the ones punishing and we're the, like that.
But we don't listen to Yamadutas.
No, that's the weakness in the equation. Like that, because that's why these things are here. That's why they're so extreme. Because it was mild, okay, that's that, but he's done so much work. He's the work. That's why Ajamil is used, because no devotee does anywhere near what Ajamil does. Right? Yeah. You know, you definitely don't. I haven't heard of any devotees who are 88 and still having sons. Right? You know, so right there, you can just, you know, okay, we don't fit into this. You know, this is way more than us. But just, you know, he did everything wrong. You know, like that, so. You know what I'm saying? In other words, he was good. Jagamati were better, but he was good. You know, he you know, he was, you could say, universal class here. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offense. And therefore, he is now pure and eligible for liberation. Footnote 18. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkaramichimala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti, executed exclusively by taking shelter of the holy name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section. Right, so this, just taking shelter of the name, having that faith, surrendering to Krishna, whether we're in the pure state or not, that's then what is the that is what's recommended. That's what we're trying to do. Right? So we're studying all these things to come to this platform. This is what we want to be able to do. Right? So it's not about the knowledge, it's not about the degree, it's not about, you know, the prestige, it's about coming to the point of understanding that actually in the association of devotees to chant, you know, without offense. Right? And trying to get to the pure platform. So, because generally if you say without offense, then that puts you on Namabhas. And if you chant a Namabhas consistently, that'll bring you to pure Shuddhanam. So, yeah. So, like, even the Acharyas, they're praying for Shuddhanam. So that means they're considering themselves chanting at one of the lower stages. So that's the goal, not something else. Yes. Not necessarily, but we'll give it our best shot.
You know. know that holy name is very unlimited potent, still we have to put the effort to follow the instruction of the Shastra and the Vishnu Buddhas, focusing in the chanting and hearing and doing the original service, repenting and stop acting simply to get the Supreme God, Bhagavan.
Yes. Because the point is it, there's a process. If you have a relationship with somebody, is there not a process? Right? You know, so it's like, let's say, the man and the woman, they come together, you know, then the, whatever it is, the notary, they sit there, they sign the papers, they do all the different things, then they go their own ways, and the rest of their lives, they remember the other person and how committed they are and all that, but they never interact or see each other. Right? Good marriage?
Yeah.
Hmm?
The Dutch one.
Dutch one. Yeah. Yes. Good Dutch marriage.
Could be Danish.
Could be Danish. You understand? So what makes the marriage a marriage? Yes. So therefore, the holy name is who he is, the unlimitedly powerful and the supreme Lord and non-different. But the point is, and we are who we are. How do we show that we have a relationship? By making the effort. Does that make sense? So that's why this comes into the Abhideya section. Because trying to chant in a pure way, even though we're not pure, that is then, you know, and it, taking exclusive shelter of the holy name, that by chanting, this is the real process. Right? Because other things we do to atone or to do this and that, but no, this is the actual occupation. Right? So this is our actual occupation, this is the actual atonement, this is the actual process, it's the actual goal, it's our actual position. So when it's like that, then we see this is exclusively taking shelter. Otherwise, then, yeah, I'm chanting, but, you know, I have my, you know, family, I have my duties, I have my responsibilities, I have all these different things, you know, that I have to do, and, you know, things aren't working right, so I have to work those things out, and, you know, if things were, you know, better politically or socially, it would make it a whole lot easier for me. It's otherwise, it's so much trouble. You understand? It's not about the holy name. We're devotees, we're chanting, but it's not about the holy name. Right? Underlying, if we sit and discuss, every devotee will agree that. That's why we're here. You understand? You understand? That's why the Yamadutas aren't here. Because you discuss with them, they don't know that. Right? So it's not that they're not... They don't have that devotional side because they're counted in amongst the, I would expect amongst the environment of Swarga. So that means they all have that devotional. They, you know, you see them talking about the Shastra, about Narayan, he's the supreme. You have to, you know, devotees and like that. But they think that the performance of Dharma is devotional service. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And this is such a mistake, let alone thinking, Upadharma is devotional service. That's really missing the point. Right? So there's all about the Supreme Lord, all about the scriptures. You can't go against the scriptures. And then following the scriptures, that's devotional service. When we don't accept the scriptures, don't accept the supremacy of the Lord, and we use Upadharma. Yes. And, you know, and for the position of, you know, what Upadharma is for, then how farther away. So if the Yamadutas are wrong, then definitely if you're taking Pranamai, it's like you're absolutely, totally wrong. And they're already absolutely, totally wrong. So we don't even have proper, you know, wordage to explain it. You know, you're just, you know, otherwise, other than an S with about, you know, 10 O's after it, you know, so wrong. Yeah, like, yeah. Does that make sense? Is that okay? If it switched to there, then these others become secondary, and then you just do them. Right? Just let's say we have the kitchen, and the whole focus is about washing the pots and plates and everything. Right? Then, is it comfortable in the house? You understand? It's all about washing that. Oh, I did it yesterday. Now it's your, you have to do it. No, what about this? Oh, you didn't do this. And so that. But if it's about, cooking for Krishna and everything, so the kitchen is clean, therefore then we wash the pot. Then it just comes as part of the service. It's so much easier. That's the thing, is devotees drive themselves nuts with management because they make that primary. But if it's secondary, it doesn't drive you nuts. Because it just happens as part of the thing. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that it has to become just part of what you do. Right? Because you can take that in everything. There's something that people do, that there's something that's important as part of the process, but they make that as the main thing. So it just gets reversed. The secondary becomes primary, the primary becomes secondary. But if you have the primary as primary, then an unlimited variety of secondary can be connected to it. But if you make the secondary as primary, not very many other secondary elements actually connect to it. They only connect because of the primary. And so therefore, because that's there, then naturally people don't get along, don't understand, can't interact. Is that so? Yeah, we're not saying washing the dishes is not important. We're just saying. Yeah.
It's interesting, you've seen so many managers, they're busy managing, but they never actually experience the program itself.
Yes.
When they come and try to see the immediately the journey.
They
just can't do it.
That's the point of the brahmacharya, because you grow up experiencing it. So then you manage it, because I've seen is that the really natural managers, to manage in the thing is very easy.
Yeah.
So if someone, all they can do is manage and can't take part, they're actually not so good of a manager. They're definitely a manager, but they're not leadership managers. They're managers who are managed by leadership. Right? So they're taking up having to see the whole thing, which they can't. They can see part of it.
Yeah.
And also you see is that in the Vedic system is nobody takes the whole, someone will be the whole thing. But under that, everybody, there's so many people involved. It's like in the Rajasuya. Then there's one person takes one thing, right? Each one of them is a qualified manager, could, in a sense, do the whole thing. But because, like you said, taking part in it is part of it, therefore they just do one. Bhima just oversees the kitchen. Sahadeva and Nakula, one of them receives, the other one seats. Not that they do both, because if you go to seat somebody, you're not there to greet the next guys.
Yes.
So therefore, you can be greeting, and while he's seating, if he's not there, you can keep talking, and then when he comes back, the next people go. Right? But we'll try to do, why do you have to have two people? You need two people for the culture. As far as man, it looks simpler. Krishna just took care of the shoes. Like that, A lot of shoes. And you don't want to lose a king's shoes, especially if he ends up with the pair that belongs to his enemy. What are you saying here? Like that, So then you start a war simply over who the shoes. Right? So that's the way to do it. There's so many people, but somebody wants to manage everything. No, it's that everybody has their area, they take that one area, then when that's going on, they're absorbed there, but the rest of it, they can take part. So then it becomes very, very nice. So that's the difficulty. This idea, just one person does everything, it controls everything, but then they'll drive themselves nuts. Because the person who can do it, then has everybody else do it. Like that. Because most of these things don't require, a technical degree to do. Anything that runs in our town, what degree you need?
Just common sense.
You need common sense, like that. But we try to make it that it's, you need a degree for everything. But that's for Shudras.
Yeah.
And then that's the problem. And then because you have that, then now you're qualified, but you have Shudra qualification. And Shudras are always in anxiety. Because they're in anxiety, they make everybody else in anxiety.
Yes.
The Jyotish said that a person falls down and the person says because of offense to the devotees, like the invasion of simple Krishna. So, and it's like Krishna's protection, that Krishna removed them from the devotee society so they don't commit further offense and then at some point again they fall. So, when is it that some offense or some mistake will make, can be corrected within the devotee society? And when is it that
it depends on the mood. Because the point is what. Let's just take your example. The person does something, somehow they end up out on the edge of Krishna consciousness and you don't see him for how long? What's the normal amount of time? 20 years. That's more severe. Yeah. Yeah. I generally seen 10 is maybe nowadays 20 is more.
Huh?
Big guys, yeah, 20 years. You know, average, at least think they're big guys, 10 years. Right. Does that make sense? So, but what happens? What happens after that 10, 20 years? I guess if they're really big, then 30 years, right? Yeah, what was that? Yeah, 30 years for some. Some just came back just recently. Yeah, they're really big.
So are they big or do they think they're really big?
No, they're big. Prabhupada said he was the smartest one in the movement. He actually knew how to, like that.
But that's the ego.
Sorry?
The ego is big. When you say big guy, it means the ego is big.
That's also there. But they also, yeah, well, that's why it takes 30 years. Because the ego matches their ability. Okay? So what happens after that 10, 20, 30 years? But no, but what's the mood when they come back? Right, so if that's there immediately, then there's no need to go.
The suffering of material nature made them humble, or what made
them? How you say? This is where we say in German, we have our ways. We have our ways to make you humble. That's what material nature says. Maya. Yes,
yeah.
Maya knows how to say it, and she knows how to do it.
Only the holy name can purify.
Yes, but the point is, when do you take shelter of the holy name? Right? Yeah. You know, when you find yourself, you know, punted around the field for a while, then when you find that you're the ball in the rugby match of life. Right, you know, then you start to, you know, get humble.
Family was humble. Yeah.
Sorry?
Family was very humble.
Yes, so he immediately, because it's also a very extreme situation here, you know? Yeah. Like that, time of death, and, you know, the Yamadas, that, you know, because, I mean, these guys are scary. Right? You know,
maybe he was also Russian, because it's a mystical experience.
Could be. Yeah, okay. And but then that would mean that the girl he's with is also Russian because they're quite famous also. Could be.
I wouldn't stress that part.
You wouldn't stress that part, okay? Because it's about Ajamil. We don't want to get into the detail. You understand? So if that attitude is there, I've also seen ones that are big like that. That one took 30 years. Someone else took 20 years. Another one is still not happening. It's going to probably take 40 years for that one. You know, like that. But because of the humility, they didn't go away. They didn't leave, even though they had done more than all these others. This one had done something actually wrong, but because of the humility, they stayed. And the others, just hearing about what he went through and thinking, I'm not doing that, they just left. They just said, I'm not going through that. And then they lasted because they dealt with it and they left it. But because of our point of morality and justice and not pointing out the not faith in the holy name of purification, then, oh, they've done this. No, but we want further purification. Oh, we want pure this further, until they just pushed until they finally left. But that's because of our dealing like Yamadutas instead of dealing like the Vishnudutas. 100%. So the point is, if we dealt like Vishnudutas, there's a good chance none of them would go. Or if they went, how long is the material nature offer something great? You know? Give them 6 months, 9 months max. You know what I'm saying? Go out, think I can this, that, you know, and put back. I mean, we said that one, you know, went that till finally he just left. I think it was six to nine months before he was back with the devotees again. You understand? So the point is, if you have the proper attitude, then why go somewhere else? So you generally see those are out and they stay out because there's some serious attitude problems or some serious issue. Maybe they're a nice guy, but there's a real serious issue about someone or something. I've heard of, as long as he's in the movement, I'm not coming back. I've heard those things. You know?
Some even refuse to go to the spiritual world.
Because they'll be there.
Yeah.
Wow, I haven't heard that one. That one's really taking. You know, if they're there, I'm not going there. But don't worry, they don't have to. Maya will arrange. She'll keep you here. How long you want to be?
When it's humble, then even offense to devotees is corrected by the service. And
the whole point is if you take shelter of the holy name, everything will go away. But one has to actually do that. One actually has to take shelter. And if that's there, it'll all work. That's why for us, it's a whole different situation. We don't work on this normal kind of thing. Does that make sense? Like that's the alternative that Prabhupada gave us. So, quoting that one that just, you know, we were saying 30 years, someone came up with they came up with a plan, and it wasn't even as developed as the ones now. And he made the point is, he was going to this big university, he's a big guy doing big stuff, and I says, I joined this movement to get away from that stuff. You know, so here is somebody who, whatever everybody's dabbling with now and thinking, whoa, this is so cool, because they themselves never dealt in all these things, so they're enamored by it. He's one from that group who, he was dealing in that. That was for them normal. That's, you breathe, things get managed. Right? And so then he said, I joined this movement to get away from that. It's so superficial, so shallow, so, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's the part with the speculative problem. With the speculative is something that one group rejects, the other one takes it up with great enthusiasm as the newest thing. You know, and then everybody thinks, oh, we're such great, you know, so intellectual, so analytical, so scientific. But that's how that speculative world works. You know, they have the theory, so no one else is going to use it. When they throw it out, then hey, it's up for grabs. You know, so then whoever can get it first, and you understand. So that's the whole thing. Is that the attitude is right, then it works nice. You know, so it's a balance. The individuals have to have the proper attitude, but the leadership has to have the proper attitude, and that combination then is wonderful. And if one or the other has, then it's a problem. But at least better leadership has the good attitude. But if an individual has, they'll survive.
Yes.
That's
yes.
The whole point. Because devotional service being independent is not dependent upon anything. Is that okay? Okay.
Yes.
How
to act when we hear about, yeah, the holy name is giving everything, for example, I want money or sense gratification, and I get in that. Is this Krishna Sarasthan? And keep
so you're
that.
Saying, Dhanam Janam Sundarim.
Yes.
Yeah. I say, Ha Janam Ha Dhanam Ha Sundarim. Yeah. And so, what do? Keep chanting.
We get more.
Technically, yes, like that. But as we say, Krishna will give you more in such a way that you will not want more. So one has to be prepared for that. But yeah, as long as I get it. You just, in other words, the process works, one just keeps at it. One has material desire, but where else will you go? Because material energy, it's not going to work out if you go there. It all comes from Krishna anyway, so therefore you go to source. So that's better. That's intelligent. You're seeing the process. But the weakness is our own attachment. But by performing devotional service, we'll get the knowledge and detachment, and eventually we'll be able to see that it's not important. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted, means there's none of us here that want as much as what he wanted. You know, like that. But in the process of going through it and connecting to the Lord, then he gave up that desire. So that's the only alternative. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.